China vows to retaliate after the US doubles tariffs. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripatha, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. China has vowed to retaliate after the US president stayed true to his tweet to double tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese products. It comes as both sides are attempting to salvage a trade deal in Washington. Some in China see the trade war as part of an attempt by the US to curb its rise, with Western governments increasingly nervous about China's growing influence in the world. Economist Linda Yu is the director of the China Growth Centre at the University of Oxford.
I think there's certainly quite a few who would support, including here in Europe, China opening up more, because I think the more protectionist stance that China had while it was a poorer country may have helped it develop. And there's quite a lot of economic theory behind that. But as now China is the world's second biggest economy, the biggest trader, it doesn't have as open markets as America and the Europeans. I think the issue is how you go about doing this. And I think had the United States President Trump not come down very hard and quite abruptly on tariffs, the Europeans may well have joined him in putting more pressure on China. But then we also have to bear in mind that what I said before is that this is fundamentally China's development model, subsidizing state-owned enterprises and being more protectionist. So lots of negotiations in the past haven't actually changed China much. But to be fair, China has moved gradually. It's just the criticism is that China's moving too slowly. And over the longer term, it's actually in China's interest to have more competitive markets and reform state-owned enterprises.
Economist Linda Yu. Let's do the numbers. European and Asian shares are in positive territory. Asia stocks rallied with Shanghai stocks closed up around 3%. Now, the iconic London toy shop Hamleys has swung from Chinese to Indian hands, very wealthy hands, in fact. India's richest man, Mukesh Ambani, has snapped up the store for an undisclosed sum. Hamleys was founded in 1760 and is the world's oldest toy retailer. The BBC's Samir Hashmi is in Mumbai.
Reliance Industries, owned by Mukesh Ambani, has been diversifying beyond its refining and petrochemical business for a few years. In 2016, it launched a telecoms business, disrupting an already fast-growing and competitive market. It has been steaming ahead with plans for a major expansion in retail. But this is its first investment in an overseas retail brand. The deal is likely to help its much-awaited e-commerce business to compete with the likes of Amazon and Walmart in India. Founded in 1760, Hamleys is the world's oldest toy retailer and has 167 stores across 18 countries. 88 of them are in India. Reliance, which owns the master franchise, operates them across 29 cities in India.
That was Samir Hashmi. Now, as part of Netflix's push in Africa, it's launched several original series spanning from drama to animation across the continent. It's all in a bid to expand its user base there by sourcing local content. The BBC's Ed Butler has more.
The biggest legacy I will leave for posterity is you, my daughter.
A trailer there for Lionheart, the first ever Netflix original movie commissioned out of Nigeria. It was released in January this year. Having launched original content initiatives in Latin America and Asia, Netflix is now looking to win hearts, minds and audiences on the African continent. No one's sure just how much it's going to be allocating to its African production offensive, but a range of new projects are now publicly on the books. Like Tunga, a musical animation film that's now in development, and it's the brainchild of the Zimbabwean writer and filmmaker Godwin Jibangwe.
I'm hoping for a global audience. I think that there is a universal element to storytelling. I attribute how well Black Panther did for having eyes turned to Africa. I think that Black Panther did a great job of showing Africa in a different light, and that just allowed industry executives to relax a bit and say maybe we can actually explore stories that aren't just set in America or the Western world.
So excitement, both commercial and artistic, about the arrival of Netflix on the African continent. Of course, the streaming service has been available to those who can afford it in Africa for some time. It costs about $8 a month for the basic service, more if you want a more bespoke package. So only wealthier Africans have been signing up so far. 18 movies a month, for example, could be equal to the country's current minimum wage in data costs alone, depending on where you live. Arthur Goldstuck is a South African tech writer and analyst. He reckons data costs remain the biggest challenge for Netflix Africa's expansion plans.
Data is incredibly expensive, and the average person is not going to be getting fiber anytime soon, or Netflix for that matter. But there are quite a few forces at work, and one of those is a rapidly growing middle class. And that middle class wants fiber to the home. And as there's more competition, the prices are coming down.
So, a bright future, perhaps, for African streaming in the years ahead. All tied in with this new, increasingly affluent middle class across the continent. And finally, African audiences can enjoy genuinely African stories. I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
Finally, if you're wondering why you haven't heard from Anu Anand lately, here's why.
Hi folks, I'm in India's capital, New Delhi. India needs to create 1 million jobs a month just to absorb new workers, and that's why jobs are such a big election issue. Tune in on Monday to find out why a country with roughly 6.5% growth just isn't creating those jobs.
In London, I'm Vishala Sripathma with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.